This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. It is day two of the Astros season. This is a successful day one as the Astros win their opener 3-1 against the New York Mets yesterday afternoon. They're back at it tonight, 7 o'clock start. Mets and the Astros at Daikin Park. That's the hardest part, man. The new name for the park.
Games they did a great job with it on the broadcasts, both the radio and the TV yesterday. I thought they did a great job. Those guys have had it ingrained in their brains more than anybody to say Minute Maid, and they did a great job.
Julia caught herself. Julia got a meh out and then went to Daikin. Yeah, okay. Very close. Yeah. But she got teased for it. But joining us now is Heidi Watney, who's going to be on sidelines for Apple TV tonight. Wayne Randazzo on the call with Dontrell Willis on color and Heidi Watney on sidelines. And she joins us right now. Heidi, it's great to talk to you again. Welcome back to Houston. And have you trained your cadence yet to make sure that it's Daikin Park, not Minute Maid Park?
I have not. I'm hoping to not make that mistake. Actually, as you guys were talking about that, I'm like, oh, yeah, mental check. Don't do that. Hopefully I don't tonight.
No, you'll be fine.
The signage in the ballpark will help, though, you know?
Yeah. So. Good.
Yeah, and it's also, they've got up in the, I don't know if you've been out to the ballpark yet or not, but then the train, instead of oranges now, they've got gigantic baseballs.
Yeah.
So you won't have any cues that might screw you up or anything.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, hopefully not. Yeah. That's probably more on Wayne Randazzo than me, so
fair.
I don't know.
Fair. So Heidi, welcome back in, by the way. We really enjoyed talking with you when you came on with us last year. This is a very different looking Astros team than the one that we were talking about with you a year ago. Obviously, it feels very different for us here with no Kyle Tucker and no Alex Bregman. How big a storyline is that for you, you know, coming in for, sort of from a national perspective in looking at this Astros team heading into the season here?
Well, it was a big storyline this offseason that the Astros were retooling and they're, you know, these two stalwarts were leaving, two of their best players were leaving. I mean, they've got Altuve still, and they've got a great pitching staff, but what are they going to do? But I have got to give a lot of credit to Dana Brown for retooling on the fly. And actually, I think in the whole, the team might actually be better than last year. Christian Walker is a huge upgrade at first base for the Astros. I remember when we would come in last year, that was a problem position we were talking about that they really couldn't solidify. Isak Paredes is not Alex Bregman, but he is a good third baseman. And, you know, the interesting thing in talking with our researchers, he hit 19 home runs last season. If he had played all of his home games here at Daikin Park, not Minute Maid, or actually then it was Minute Maid, so that wouldn't have mattered. But if he had played all of his home games here, he would have had 26, so seven more home runs because of the Crawford boxes, because of the way his swing is. So I think he's a great fit there at third. And then they got Cam Smith in that Tucker deal as well. And, I mean, everyone's seen that video of Joe Espada setting up Cam Smith to find out he made the big league roster with his mom coming in. And if you didn't get choked up watching that video, you are not human. It was amazing. And this kid is supposed to be one of the great players. I heard a Cubs official say, "Oh, I thought certain players were untouchable." I guess not, about Cam Smith. So he's going to be, his future is bright. And I've got to give a lot of props to Dana Brown for getting that done. He's not rebuilding. He's retooling. Mm-hmm. And they're poised to compete again.
You know, Heidi, that the ironic thing about that was there was a stretch of time in Astros history when Kyle Tucker was the minor leaguer who was designated untouchable. And people were starting to get frustrated with Luno, especially when Tucker didn't light the world on fire his rookie year. Like, people were wondering, why is he untouchable? Why is he untouchable? And it did. Everything I read out of Chicago was that, man, they really didn't want to let go of Cam Smith. They really didn't want to let go of Cam Smith. Are you surprised ultimately that they did, especially, you know, obviously given the way he's performed?
I am surprised because, I mean, I know they've got a decent budget there, but, you know, they're not the Dodgers. They're just not buying everyone. Yeah. And to have a cost-controlled guy who has that much upside and is that great of a player, and a person, by all accounts. I mean, it was great. I met Todd Kalas after the game last night and got to chat about the team. I absolutely love Todd. I have known him forever. He's just, you guys have such a great broadcast team, really. And Julia, Todd, and Blummer. I mean, you guys are very lucky here in Houston that team has stayed together for so long because they're highly entertaining. Anyway, he was saying that Cam is just a really good human, too. And when you've got that combination of the skill set, the size, the projectability, and being just a really good dude, to let that guy go for potentially 1 year of a player seems a little strange. But, you know, the Cubs have a smart front office, too, so we'll see what they've got in store.
Heidi Watney is on sideline. She's a sideline reporter tonight for the Astros and the Mets. Apple TV Plus is where you can find that. Sticking with Cam Smith for a second, Heidi, you said you saw the video. His family has been a big topic of discussion, too. Seth and I actually met his mom and grandmother by happenstance outside the park at spring training one day, and they couldn't have been nicer. Is Cam Smith's mom on the docket for a little sideline interview tonight, by any chance?
I would love to, and I asked for that, but we have so much packed into our broadcast tonight that we just don't think it's feasible to add another interview in. And I know that Julia talked to her on opening day, so Astros fans got to hear from her that way. It would have been nice to bring her to a national audience, but we're going to have CJ Stroud in attendance that we're going to chat with. We've got Francisco Lindor mic'd up during the game, and he's always a great guy because he's one of those people that can really handle the position and also explain what he's doing really well, which is great to bring our fans in closer to the action. I think I'm talking to Christian Walker before he takes the field. I've got the manager interviews in game. So it's kind of a lot to pack in more interviews during the game because we don't want to take away from the game action.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Boy, that is an all-star lineup you got there, including CJ Stroud. That'll be great. Heidi Watney joining us on the show. It's funny, Seth and I were talking right before you came on with us during the break about the local broadcast teams when the Apple team comes in for these Friday games, what the level of collaboration is. And it sounds like you obviously think very fondly of Todd Kalas and Jeff Blum and Julia Morales. Can you take us inside maybe? What are they a good utility for you guys when it comes to just familiarizing yourselves with some of the really granular details that might be there? And is the relationship that you have with our team here, is that the norm around the league for you guys when you come in to do these Friday games?
It varies from team to team, I will say. But I've been doing baseball for so long and have so many friends in the sport that I will call up whenever we're going to do a broadcast, I'll call up someone with the local broadcast. Hey, tell me what's going on with your team. Hey, Mookie Betts has been sick. I know this is what they're saying publicly. What are they saying behind closed doors? And it's not always for broadcast. Sometimes it's just for my own knowledge, so I know what's going on within the team and within those walls. Most of the teams now, because again, I've been working in baseball for a long time, I have at least one insider. But a lot of times, most organizations, most, not all, are really willing to work with you and help you out. And I know a lot of the PR staffs too, so I'll give some of those guys a call before in the week beforehand, early in the week. Hey, what should I be looking out for? What's a storyline that has been underreported in your from your input? And I also know a lot of managers too, so sometimes I'll text or call with them early in the week, like what should I be looking out for? Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about baseball. It's kind of a small circle. It's a big sport. It's a national sport. There's a lot of people involved. But the longer you're in the sport, the more people you know. And it's just really fun for me to get to come and see people like Todd and Julia. I take over Julia's seat while I'm here, and she's great. And then also giving some props to the local broadcasters, I think, is nice too, because especially if they're a great broadcast and they help you out, then I have absolutely no problem giving credit where credit is due.
Heidi, because this is a city of the Houston Astros, we're not afraid to lean into computers aiding us. we like to mess around with artificial intelligence a little bit. So I had Gemini basically write out a script in the voice of Heidi Watney to lay out some of the things you might want to say tonight. Would you like to play a little game where you either approve of or disapprove of some of these nuggets?
Sure.
Okay. I've been told that I need to aim for a blend of enthusiasm, a focus on the key storylines, and that bright, engaging delivery. Oh. I feel like that's good so far.
Gemini
right?
thinks highly of you, Heidi. This is good. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Here are your opening comments. Tell me. It's so bad at this. Tell me if you would do this. Tell me if this is kind of close to what you're going to say tonight.
Okay.
All right, sports fans, we're down here at Minute Maid Park. The buzz is still in the air, even with the off-season chill. It's 72 degrees today. And let's talk about those Houston Astros, shall we? You know, that team that always seems to be in the mix. How are we doing so far?
Maybe not what I would say.
It's so
Wayne
bad.
Wayne might be a little bit better at it, but just doing the whole welcome thing. I got to get more to the point. I'm a sideline reporter. My time is limited.
Yeah,
and you already called it Minute Maid Park.
Yeah, you already got that
right
wrong.
Off the bat.
Also that, yeah.
The one
yeah.
thing we told you not to do, and you got that wrong on AI. Yeah. Oh my God.
All right, these are so cringy. Don't worry. If there's one thing I've learned about this, it's really bad at it. Everybody universally, when they hear these, they're like, "Is that what I sound like?"
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'll just do one because these are just awful. And of course, everyone's keeping an eye on those key players. You know, the stars that light up the field. The discussions around how those players will be doing in the coming season are always a hot topic.
I don't think so.
Very, very generic.
Yeah. The silence tells me everything. Yeah.
It's funny you say this because somebody at my kid's school was like, "Do you ever use AI for your topics?" And I was like, I'm not sure that would help. I mean, I'm not the most familiar with AI. I'm still old school, old fashioned, do my own research. But I'm not sure how much that helped. He goes, "Oh, just type in, the team you're working on into AI. I bet it'll give you a great bunch of storylines." So I went home and I typed in the team name. It was nothing. It was dog poop, like what I got back from AI. I was like, this is not useful at all. Maybe I'm just not using it right. So it sounds like it's not me, it's AI.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, no, it's for whatever reason, it's really bad at sports. It'll like mix up the stats from different teams and everything. It's really, really bad.
I would not check my mentions if I were you, Heidi, after delivering something like that on TV.
No, we've watched you enough that this is nothing like what people should expect.
No. Other than the first part where it described your personality as being engaging and all that, that was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that part was really good. Hey, we're talking to Heidi Watney, sideline reporter for tonight's game between the Mets and the Astros. How excited are you to see our new left fielder, Jose Altuve, Heidi?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I'm talking to Jose pregame for our pregame show, and I suggested that we do it out in left field. We get to the ballpark really early and just stroll around out there so we can familiarize myself with his new home. And he's like, I'd rather just sit in the dugout. So,
want to do it? Oh, he would be familiarizing himself with it at the same time. He's only played one game out there.
Get to know the new digs. The ball will find you, though, right? He had a couple opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah. I am very interested. Look at this. This little corner right here where the ball could ricochet, oddly.
Yeah.
Although that could trip up anybody, though. That's not something that's just going to be unique to him. The most seasoned left fielder out there might still have trouble with that little Crawford box corner. But he's doing good, and I'm interested to talk to him about the progression. I know I've heard so many interviews with him in spring training about, you know, getting Marwin Gonzalez glove, picking everyone's brain from Berkman to Biggio and all of that stuff. So I'm looking forward to talking to him myself.
You know, one thing, too, that, you know, Sean and I talk about, it's always nice to get people from a perspective outside of Houston, because we get stuck in our own little silo here. And we start to have commonly held beliefs that maybe we're putting on the homer glasses a little too much. I think one of those might be with Hunter Brown, because Hunter Brown last year underwent a transformation after a rough start to where all of a sudden he became a really, really good pitcher. But I think we sometimes forget that, okay, he hasn't done it for an entire season yet. What are you seeing, hearing, and feeling about Hunter Brown, the pitcher tonight?
Well, Hunter Brown did start the season off, you know, really badly last year. Mm-hmm. But he was trying to be, you know, talking to Dontrell Willis, our analyst, he said, you know, he's trying to be a little bit too much like Justin Verlander, a guy that he idolized with that high fastball. Once he added the sinker, something that's going to go into righties, something that's going to keep them a little off balance so they can't just reach out over the plate, he took off. I think for him, from May 1st through the end of the season, he had an ERA, 2.51 ERA, fourth lowest in the majors. Fourth lowest in the majors from May 1st to the end of the season. So if he can continue to build on that, I know he had some control issues this spring, but spring training, guys are working on things. I never really take stock in spring training numbers, especially from pitchers, especially. You will see some of the best pitchers in the league have 8 ERAs in spring because they're working on a new pitch or doing something or don't want to show whatever. Like, they're having fun out there getting ready for the season. So I'm excited to see if he can carry over that, you know, that second half and really the last 5 months of last season into this year.
Yeah, we're all pumped for that. No doubt about that. Heidi Watney on sidelines tonight for the Apple TV Plus broadcast of the Mets and the Astros. Wayne Randazzo on the play-by-play. Dontrell Willis on color, as Heidi mentioned right there. Hey, Heidi, real quick for our audience, we still get questions about the Friday Apple broadcast. This is something that's, if you have an Apple TV Plus subscription, this is included in this. If people want to watch this game tonight, that's just all they need to do is download that and subscribe, right?
Yes, yes. If you have an Apple TV Plus subscription, you already have access to it. And if you don't have one, there's definitely a free trial out there for you to try it. I'll see if I can get, usually I post a code. That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Usually I post a code the morning of our game. So I'll reach out to my guys and see if we have one. But so look for that on X. But look, the picture quality is unmatched. We just did a premiere last weekend of the World Series film, which also drops tonight, guys. And I mean, I know it was Dodgers, Yankees, and didn't involve the Astros, but if you want to see a great cinematic depiction of an emotional World Series, it is a Hollywood film, but it actually happened in real life. It's so good. And I'm not biased saying that because I work for Apple. I just like sports, and the whole thing gave me goosebumps. RJ Cutler was the director. He's a Hollywood Emmy Award-winning director, Academy Award-nominated director, and he put this together. And the access they got behind the scenes was also something that you don't see that in baseball a lot.
Yeah.
You don't see teams in the World Series having video inside the clubhouse and inside the training room, but somehow they got it. So that drops tonight, too, on Apple TV+. You can watch that if you have a subscription. But, yes, you can watch it from your phone, your computer, your TV, wherever. And it's now in the bar packages, too, so bars shouldn't have trouble getting it. But our picture quality, the audio, the enhancements we do, and the biggest thing I'll say about our broadcast, and one thing that Apple and my bosses really care about.
Oh, no.
Did we just lose Heidi? That was a
team. Yeah, we did. Oh,
there you go. We lost you for a second, Heidi. You still there?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we lost you for like five. You ended it. The one thing my bosses, and then it went off. Yeah.
Really? No, it was the one thing my bosses really care about.
Yeah, and I'm like,
Dead air.
I'm like, now that's a tease. We got to go find Heidi. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I'm just meandering around my hotel room. The one thing they really care about is bringing fans closer to the game. I mean, they care a lot about, you know, Apple is just a perfectionist. So, like, video, you know, the graphics package, everything is really clean and really nice. But they want to bring fans closer to the game. That's why we do so many interviews. That's why we're on the field. That's why we've got the Megalodon cameras and the umpire cameras and all the bells and whistles to bring fans closer to the action. So I think it's a really good watch.
Yeah, you can find Heidi on X at Heidi Watney.
Did I lose you again?
No. I was just giving out your that all sounds awesome. I just want to make sure I got, as you were mentioning that code you were putting out, I wanted to mention that where they can find you on social media right there. So at Heidi Watney,
At Heidi Watney, yeah.
At Heidi, and we did just lose you again, Heidi. Just drop again. So there we go. That was Heidi Watney, sideline reporter for tonight's game, Apple TV Plus, 7 o'clock start. And if Heidi, if you're there, say something. Not there.
We'll have Gemini do it for her.
Yeah. say goodbye in Heidi Watney's voice. Yeah. All right. We appreciate Heidi Watney joining us here on the show. Sideline reporter. She does a great job. So that should be a fun broadcast tonight. CJ Stroud's going to be part of it. That was a cool little nugget as well. All right. Up next. Coming up next, Take a Mania. We usually do it at 9 o'clock on Fridays. We're going to do it at 9:25 on a Friday. Does Cataldi reign supreme over the bad takes of the week? Again, we will see coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Big thanks to Heidi Watney. She was great joining us on the show. Normally at 9 o'clock, she's a sideline reporter for tonight's Astros-Mets game. You can get her on X at Heidi Watney. She's going to have a code out there, I guess, for those of you who haven't subscribed to Apple TV yet to see the game. There's a free trial. She'll have it for you on social. Yeah.
You'll all be happy to know that Jose Altuve will not be doing an in-game interview in left field.
No.
They're not going to have him mic'd up asking him various questions as he's also... Jake Meyer's trying to yell at him where to line up, and Altuve's answering a question about what his favorite color is. You don't have to worry about any
of
that.
Remember when Pena misplayed a pop fly last year in an Apple game where he was being interviewed?
During
the game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had forgotten that, but now I remember, and all the rage is back.
Didn't like that at all.
So it's going to be Lindor. You don't have to worry about any Astros being the in-game interview.
Thank God. All right, Take a Mania. We normally do it at 9 o'clock on Fridays. Worst takes of the week, trying to take down the defending champion. Angelo Cataldi, the longtime host in Philadelphia at WIP. He's retired from WIP, but he still pops up on podcasts and things like that. He's been the champ now for 2 months. He's had the belt. Many an opponent, many a foe have tried to take him down with horrifically bad takes, and they've been unable to do it. Here is Angelo Cataldi the day after the Super Bowl. That's how long it's been on Andy Reid.
Let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right? Because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won 0 championships. Doug Peterson was here 5. He won 1. Nick Sirianni's been here 4. He won 1. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid, the all-time fraud of American sports is Andy Reid.
Okay, all-time fraud. That's what keeps him, that's his finishing move. That's what keeps him on top with his belt that we've given him.
Right, yeah. By his logic, Bill Belichick is an all-time fraud
all-time fraud.
Belichick went 9 years without winning a Super Bowl for one stretch of his
career. He was a fraud that whole time.
He was a fraud that whole time.
The whole time he was a fraud. All
right, he only had Tom Brady, you know, just bailing him out.
I've got 3 challengers today, Seth. One is a written one on Twitter. The other 2 are audio. So here we go. The first one is Chad Forbes, who is he's an NFL writer. Puts a lot of content out there on the draft. Compared to the level of fame that Angelo Cataldi has, this is almost the equivalent of pulling somebody out of the crowd to fight Brock Lesnar. But it involves the Magnificent Gladstone, and you know that's going to trigger me every time. Chad Forbes tweeted this earlier this week. Jaguars GM James Gladstone, maybe 34 years old. The coach is bizarre, Liam Cohen, but he knows ball. What's going on in Jacksonville deserves a follow. On the right track for the first time since Tom Coughlin's first stint, analytics meets football guys in all the right ways.
Yeah, okay, this is the problem. This is the problem with that take, is that because the Magnificent Gladstone, just because he speaks with all of these just super affectatious, that's not the right word, whatever I'm like, highfalutin terms of what, it was ironic to use that word. it was very ironic to use that word.
Yep.
Like, tries so hard to show that he's super analytical, dude. It doesn't mean that there aren't a boatload of other football teams using a lot of analytics.
Right.
He's just trying so hard. He's trying so hard. Why are they heaping praise on this guy who didn't even actually do much in the offseason other than overpay Eric Murray?
Right.
That's the thing that's so annoying about it. You're basing none of this on anything he's actually done other than the fact that he gets up and he talks like he's reinventing the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre. Is it enough to knock off Cataldi? That's the question, Seth. Is it enough to take down Cataldi saying that Andy Reid is an all-time fraud? I don't think so either. No. Yeah, I don't think so.
Did he do it? Connor!
Cataldi kicks out. Yep, Cataldi. I mean, this is like 30 foes that he's had since the Super Bowl. All right, these next two are audio. I think one of these is going to come close this week. We'll see. The first one's Stephen A. Smith. This was Stephen A. Smith. This has nothing to do with LeBron James. This is Stephen A. Smith saying that the NCAA tournament is going to die if they don't have more Cinderellas moving forward.
If there was no NIL, if there was no trade portal, right? And you have zero, the mid-majors go 0-6 in the second round. Please, we ain't sweating that. But when you're able to point to rules that have been implemented that ultimately shows itself to have inflicted upon the game itself, that's dangerous. Because what you don't want is a situation where nobody has a chance because those players from the mid-majors, like y'all said, you know what, we're going to get some money from Kentucky. We're going to get some money from UConn. We're going to get some money from some other program that we can't get them in. You don't want that to be the reason you have these kind of results in the NCAA tournament. If people continue to get to point to that, then college basketball as we knew it, which to me is all about March Madness, will cease to exist.
Cease to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
The tournament will die and cease to exist.
This is one of those things where he's doing one of those things where people love to kind of point to something that's a quaint part of something and wax poetic about it and make it, and you make yourself seem like you're a true scholar. You're a true fan who truly appreciates all those things. But no, it's like the big names, big schools, everything else is what drives things. And largely this year where there are no Cinderellas, lo and behold, they've got the best ratings they've had in a long time.
Yes.
It's like the people who claim they're Civil War buffs, you know? Like, it's so easy to say, well, I'm a Civil War buff, you know? And like, all right, what the hell does that even mean? You like to watch a miniseries here or there, all right?
Yeah, call me crazy. I'm pretty fired up for Duke and Alabama on Saturday night. These are the 1 and the 2 seed. You got the 1 and the 3 seed with Texas Tech and Florida. You got a bunch of big names playing tonight. I like the Cinderellas as much as anybody, but them not being there doesn't affect my enjoyment of the turn. I just enjoy it in a different way, you know? Like, it's silly. All right.
Let's be honest. Cinderella, overrated.
Overrated.
As a fairy tale and as a dame.
That's right.
Yeah. She, ultimately, really, what do you think? They're going to find happiness together? No.
Yeah.
She's going to be annoying.
Glass? Slippers? You bimbo? Yeah. What are you doing? Glass? That's the most uncomfortable. High heels are uncomfortable already, from what I hear. Glass slipper?
Hey, Cinderella, how about you confront your stepmother yourself instead of needing to be rescued, you know?
Yeah, thank you. All right, now that said, is that enough to take down Angelo Cataldi?
It was bad take just given all of the, given the fact that, especially this year, he's dead wrong on it.
Yeah.
That it seems that it's not dying because of that. It might die for all of the other reasons. But no, it's just not as easy. Yeah.
Boy, yeah. Cataldi is just raining supreme.
Did he do it? Cover!
Oh, just kicked out of Stephen A. Smith's finisher. All right, last one. Last one. This is from Coach Jason Brown. If you don't know who he is, he was the coach in that the documentary. I think it's Last Chance U is what it's called. He was the head coach. You familiar with that, Seth?
Yeah, like real old school, right?
Yeah,
like
very
pretty
old
rough. Pretty rough, yeah.
Yeah, Last Chance U. I guess he's got a podcast now where he streams. Boy, you talk about somebody who is on the negative side when it comes to Amir Khan, if you will.
Amir Khan was the manager for McNeese State, who got NIL deals and everything for carrying a boombox and just being kind of a character.
Yeah. And he's on his way to NC State to get similar NIL monies following Will Wade, the head coach there. So he was, for the first weekend of the tournament, he might have been the biggest story. And then him transferring and getting more NIL money was a big story as well. Coach Jason Brown is having none of this.
Look at this f***ing wobble body. Looks like a f***ing fat bumblebee walking around pocketing $100K to f***ing do what? Wear a f***ing radio out? This is an absolute f***ing slap in the face of anybody who works at going to school to get a f***ing education and a degree. And all the workers that work there. Do you think the f***ing janitor at McNeese State makes $100 large? But Amir Kalikalala can hang a radio around his neck and make $100K NIL money? Are you f***ing shitting me? And you think this is NIL? Now, can we all agree that this is a mockery? This kid earned an NIL bag? Do you think 6 through 12 is getting $100K that sit on the bench to play for that team? And then I got to go over here and look at Amir wearing a f***ing radio around his neck and he gets $100K and then he gets to go with this coach and follow him and get another bag? Make it make sense.
This is why this would compete heavily with Cataldi for me is that Jason Brown is doing a stream with BetUS label up there.
He's getting sponsored.
He's got sponsors.
What you're telling
me is that you sitting here dog cussing this kid for 90 seconds and getting paid sponsorship money to do it is any less stupid than him getting paid to stick a Tick Pick label or a Buffalo Wild Wings label on a boombox walking? Dude, what we all do is absurd. Okay?
It is. Well, in any way, I mean, you can extend that even to like, okay, is the 10th guy on the bench making more than the janitor at McNeese States makes? Does that make sense? Is that a true meritocracy?
Right.
No. It's all, you're criticizing your own industry when you criticize
that. You're criticizing capitalism. Like, no, teachers should get paid more. You know why they don't? It's not on TV. Nobody wants to watch. They watch this kid. People have eyes on him. It's compelling. He's prominently displayed in a spot where these companies can see their branding and their product placement, their signage.
Yeah.
So ultimately, Seth, I leave it to Pope Zaza. But I'm telling you right now, this is very close to pinning Cataldi for me right now. Very close.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I think it's an idiotic take.
But it made me laugh, though, too.
I feel like Cataldi,
this is the problem. Cataldi was sitting on that take just waiting for the moment to unleash it forever. Forever.
Yeah.
Ever since the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I think that this was more just the coach there just playing up a role that he's kind of fallen
into. I'm just in charge of bringing in the talent. You're the booker here. Who gets the pin?
Oh, I can't do it.
Okay.
No.
Can he do it? Cover!
Cataldi kicks out again, man. Kicks out again.
I want to throw in just like an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Is it because I've seen this in some of these anonymous quotes multiple times about various players at colleges where they'll criticize a guy like McMillan, that receiver from Arizona.
Yeah.
They said something like, well, they kissed his butt to keep him there so he wouldn't leave an NIL, and
honorable.
They coddled him.
Yeah.
They had to kiss his ass to keep him there. The reason I have an issue with that is like, okay, that might be the case, but he did stay.
Yeah.
Where are you equally criticizing every single guy who leaves an NIL? Because it's just, that's the lay of the land right now.
Yep.
I feel like that's a kind of that same just knee-jerk anti-NIL take.
Good honorable mention. If I find any audio of somebody specific saying that.
They're all anonymous
they're
scouts.
They're in the mix.
So there's
yeah.
There will be no audio.
Can't give a belt to an anonymous person. Those are the rules. All right. But Shedeur Sanders, his father Dion laid out the teams he would be okay with playing for. This is actually kind of big news in the draft realm. We'll have that for you coming up next.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, you guys know we are proud to partner with the Texas Children's Hospital or Texas Children's Houston Open. It's at Memorial Park Golf Course going on right now this weekend. Second round teeing off about an hour ago. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and more of the PGA Tour's best are on the course right here, right now in Houston, on one of the best golf venues in the country. For score updates, tee times, weather notes, and ticket information, we still got 2 days left after this, too. Get some tickets. Head out there this weekend. Go to tchouopen.com now. Here was Dion Sanders on with Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless, I guess, he's no longer with FS1, so he's got a podcast that I'm guessing does pretty well. He had Dion Sanders on. These guys go way back to those Cowboys days in Dallas together. And Dion told Skip he set the team straight that put that bad information or the negative information out there about Shedeur and how he was aloof in the meetings and not taking it seriously. Dion found out which team that was, set them straight, but then more importantly, named the teams that Shedeur is cool with getting drafted by.
You know me, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. So I called that team because I tracked it down. I knew it was. And I called the head coach and we had a candid conversation.
Did you really? Good for you.
We were really cool. And he said, Prime, that never happened. He said, matter of fact, it was a great interview. We all walked out of there saying, dang, this kid got it. I said, yeah, but this guy on your staff lied and said it did. So you need to check him. And he did. Shedeur has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams. So I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
Okay, that last part first, that is a change of tune from Dion during the college football season where he was – at least posturing to be very selective about where he would allow Shedeur to get drafted, and Travis Hunter for that matter too, where he would allow them to go. Seems like he's a little more open now to some of these teams that are at the top of the draft.
Did he say, he said the Titans, right?
He did.
So basically of the top five teams that would be in the mix for a quarterback, the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, the possibly the Raiders, the Jets.
He didn't say the Jets.
He didn't say the Jets. He
said the Saints.
And he did say the Saints.
Yeah.
So that's the top of the top 10 teams in the draft. Everybody that would be in the market for the a quarterback, he mentioned.
Other than the Jets. Yeah.
Other than the Jets, right. Yeah. So the Jets are the one team that maybe he's. Now they're also. Of the teams that he mentioned, the Jets are the lowest of the teams that he mentioned, I believe. Yes. So
the Saints the Jets are picking seventh. The Saints are picking ninth.
Okay. So the Jets are of the top 10, the first 10 picks in the draft, the Jets are the only team that would be likely to draft the quarterback that he did not mention.
He did not mention. And the speculation was that was the team that said negative things or had a person on that staff put that negative info out there about him, because I believe it was, I forget who reported that. It might have been Diana Rossini or somebody that put that, or Todd McShay maybe put that out there. But the person who put it out there said that a team in the top seven which is a very arbitrary number to pick. When you say top, it's either top three, top five, top 10. Top seven is not one you normally put out there, and they're picking seven. So the speculation at the time was that it was the Jets that did it. And I would say that, you know, and how about Deion saying he went to that team and said, that whole team said, no, we love Shadur. And Deion basically identified who the guy was. Yeah, that guy. And
now we got to monitor and see who gets fired by the Jets if Shadur goes to the Jets.
Yeah.
Because that one guy will be out there. Now, it would also, one of the conspiracy theories that always pops up is that, all right, is a team talking smack about a player to get him to drop?
Yeah.
And do you think, would you put it past the Jets from having somebody on their staff that maybe trying to get a guy to drop by talking smack about him? I would not. I would not.
Bob McGinn, whose anonymous scout reports we've used extensively over the last few days because they're so juicy. Bob McGinn, golongtd.com. He's done this for years and years.
Real quick, just because I have to protect Aaron Glenn's reputation.
Yeah.
And I don't think, the way Shadur said it, where the head coach said, no, we thought Aaron Glenn would never, like, I know Aaron. Aaron wouldn't be the guy that was spreading false rumors, I think, to try to get somebody to drop.
Inside the building with the Jets. No way.
But I could see somebody in that organization being shady enough to do it.
Might have been
Woody Johnson himself.
Might have been. Or one of his kids, one of his punk-ass kids that was in there in the room. Like, you should have seen his scores on NCAA 25. Shadur sucks. And he's not taking this interview very seriously with us right now, guys. Bob McGinn's got, I mean, the quarterbacks, this is where you get the juiciest stuff on the anonymous scout, on the anonymous scout tip here. Yeah. In the positive realm, there's a lot of positive with the first few scouts that Bob McGinn has here about his toughness, his leadership, things like he's a great kid. The concern seems to be from a physical standpoint, the arm talent, it's maybe not the best. His like just the physical talent overall, like he's not an explosive runner. You see him scramble, but it doesn't look like Lamar Jackson when he's scrambling. Probably looks a little more like CJ Stroud when he's scrambling, but he doesn't have the arm talent CJ does. So there's a lot of that in here, and especially like the fact that he took a pounding these 2 years behind those offensive lines in Colorado.
Really tough kid. He's really, really tough. I mean, some of the pounding that he took was because he'll hold on to the ball too long. But, nobody doubts his physical toughness.
Right. Now, if we start to dig into the way Bob McGinn does this, he tends to get to the more negative stuff towards the back end of the scouting reports here. He says this. He'll get crippled. This is one scout. He's not going to be able to play the way he does in college. He'll get crippled his first season. Not a wow athlete for his size. He's in for a rude awakening. His dad was so uniquely gifted. He's not that guy. He's got mom's talent.
A shot at Mrs. Sanders.
Yeah, a shot at Deion's ex, man. I thought that was funny. And he is. Like, who is? It's Deion Sanders, you know?
I don't know. You know, though, if you're the kid, it's probably better to not be known as an athlete if they're the son of one of the greatest actual athletes, like of the normal athletic traits.
Right.
Because then the part about him, if he plays the way he did in college, he's going to take a pounding. I feel like we've just seen so many instances of that now where, that part is true, but we've seen so many college players learn, like, okay, they can't improvise as much. Now, Pat Mahomes will still improvise like crazy and everything, but it's a scaled-down version of what he did in college. So I guess I don't think most scouts worry as much about that as long as they feel like the kid gets it and understands that he's going to have to operate in more of a rhythm in the NFL.
Says this, one scout, you're just setting yourself up for failure to take him high. System pocket passer without any redeeming special qualities. Doesn't have a real quick mind or quick eyes to see things. If he knows he can throw it right there, he can do that. He can't move. Heavy legged. It's amazing. Deion had two sons that played at this level, and neither one of them is a good athlete. He'd be five. I guess Shadur's not running for anybody like the 40. Yeah. He says if he did, he'd be a 5-flat or 4-9. I'll give him a 4-9. He doesn't have much upside. I don't see how he survives. In a lot of ways, he's been trained so much since he was young that he's almost a robot as opposed to being a natural quarterback. Carried himself like a star at the combine. They observed this, and not in a good way. That's not a compliment. Everybody on the field gravitated towards him. he seemed like a very confident professional quarterback. Okay, maybe it was a compliment that he carried himself like a star.
Especially because I know they do watch that, see who gravitates to a quarterback. They want to see a guy that has a certain charisma about him. They don't want a quarterback that's just sitting off by himself, you know, playing Sudoku or whatever. So I think that Shedeur Sanders, in terms of a magnetism, they probably, even the guys that are negative about him, probably still recognize that, okay, boy, he does seem to have a certain charisma about him.
Yeah.
The part about the guys that keep bringing up how shocked they are that he's not a good athlete when his father was, it feels like they're guys who paid a huge stud fee to have a bull come breed there. Come breed a heifer, and they're not producing good.
That's some nag.
Like, what the hell did I even pay for?
That's some nag in the 4-H fair, you know, like some pony at a petting zoo. Oh, man. Reggie Adetula, John Lopez, they are here. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Well, man, there was a little bit of hateration in that, man.
What, in that scout?
Yeah,
that was
wild.
These are the anonymous scouts. Anonymous. They let their hate flag fly.
That's it,
when they're speaking liberally.
I thought they were talking about me.
Let's see.
Heavy-legged.
Amazing. He had two sons that played at the... Oh, that's about Dion, not about you.
Good thing, actually, the juiciest ones there were about the quarterback class in general. There were some quotes about just how bad this quarterback class is, and people are not high on really either on any of the quarterback prospects.
I'm so glad this is not our problem anymore. So, I mean, say what you will, CJ, last year he regressed, he was this, he was that. This I know, he's going to be the quarterback of this team for a long, long time.
Yeah. Here's the quote. This is the most overblown group of quarterbacks. Every last one of them is overrated and inflated.
Yeah.
Wherever they end up, they're half a round to a round overrated.
And they'll be wrong about a couple of them. They always are. There's never a class that has nobody in it.
Yeah.
You know,
but quarterbacks there is sometimes, you know.
Occasionally. But like one of them's going to pan out, probably, I would guess. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's Brock Purdy, like it did. You know, maybe it's Mr. Irrelevant. Who knows? You're listening to Crosstalk, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing.
There it is.
Fellas, good to see you. 1-0 Astros team. What is your question of the day today?
Question of the day. What hill are you always willing to die
always.
On?
Okay.
Always willing to die on.
No matter how wrong you are, and it has to do with Stephen A. Smith, killing Nolan Richardson and then bringing him back to life.
Explain. I didn't. What happened?
This morning, he was talking about... Calipari.
Okay.
And say, no, he's going to recruit.
I was busy doing a show, so I didn't see it.
I'm certainly aware. He said he's going to be one of the greatest recruiters since the late, since Mr. 40 Minutes of Hell.
He called him the late great.
He could call him the late great.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace. And then the next segment, he goes, I am fully aware that he is alive. I'm like, no, you're not.
The late great? That's the second time in 24 hours that Stephen A. Smith. Now, this one is just more. That he's still alive is you can laugh about it a little bit. The accusation he made of LeBron James not going to Kobe's memorial, and it turns out he did go to Kobe's memorial, that would piss me off if I were LeBron.
And it should.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about Stephen A is he's always been boisterous and all these things, but one thing that you could always give him credit for, at least a majority of the time, is that he would hold to his journalistic foundation.
Yeah.
He's getting real willy-nilly with it now.
Oh, yeah. No, he's so far gone from being a journalist now.
So there's something that you're absolutely feeling you're right on, even if you're wrong.
Okay.
The hill you're willing to die.
Do you
I
have
like
one,
Stephen A, because he does the same thing I do. He makes the same mistakes I do, but he does it with zero shame.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's holding me back. Shame.
That's right.
He makes a lot of mistakes about like certain factual stuff and just runs with it and he doesn't worry about it. Yeah, I need to be more like Stephen A.
The one that I have... I mean, the one Stephen A. is doing is inarguable. The one that I have, and I have a different perspective on it because I went to school there. But there, the thing that people, when the discussion of football and conferences comes up, the thing that people come at me with is, why is Notre Dame an independent? Why do they get to be an independent in all this? They should join a conference. And I'm like, why would they join a conference? Last I checked, and the only sport they're independent in is football.
Right. Yeah, man.
Last I checked, they were in the national championship. It was no impediment to them getting to the national championship game. And I think a lot of people bring it up just because they feel like, one, it's some sort of privilege they have that they're independent, which it is.
It is.
If there was a financial reason for them to not be independent anymore, I assure you they would not be independent. I'm pretty sure. But their independence is very wrapped up in the history of the school, which I'm not going to bore the audience with. This goes back to World War II and the Catholic Church and a bunch of other things. But that's the hill that I, off the top of my head.
Yeah, you're just like,
my wife is waiting for me downstairs to bring me to this event that I'm going to today. I'm sure she can probably tell me 5% in our marriage before, you know.
Text in.
I asked Brandy this because I couldn't think of it. So I said, what's a take that I won't bend on? And she said, oh, that quarterback. And she said that quarterback, not because she doesn't know Anthony Richardson's name, but because she knows that she's not allowed to speak Anthony Richardson's name, that he will never be a good quarterback in the NFL.
I like that. All right, gentlemen, I got to get out of here. It's weekend time. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies in the worst quarterback class ever, where the best quarterback was undrafted, Matt Moore. The 2007 quarterback class of Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn, Kevin Cobb, John Beck, Drew Stanton, and Trent Edwards. Oh,
man. I knew Seth would find one that had nobody.
Nobody.
Yep, nobody. Matt Moore. Wow, man. That's brutal.
Undrafted
Matt Moore.
The experts in the NFL saw fit to at least Matt Moore at least started like a couple of seasons.
Sure, yeah. Sure. All right, we are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station.